Amen, 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 amen. We just thank God for wonderful, wonderful, wonderful praise and worship by our brother Titus Glenn. And I don't know about y'all out there today, but I just want to make sure that I am ready when the Lord gets ready to part the sky, to be able to ascend with him in all glory and with all honor and to see him once again. I don't know about y'all, but I just want to make sure that I am ready. Does anybody else want to be ready when he gets ready to come? Hallelujah. Does anybody else want to be ready when the Lord parts the sky and comes back for his people on today? I can't be the only one that wants to be ready. I just want us to know and to understand that right now, every moment that we have, every second that we have, we can prepare ourselves to be ready when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back. I just want to thank y'all for tuning in with us on this morning here to just be able to have another wonderful day, another wonderful opportunity to just allow God into our lives. And I just want to thank you that you are not too busy. Things were not going on too much in your life to where you just kind of just put pause and allow God to come in and have some time with you. It is called uninterrupted fellowship with God. And I just want to thank you for doing that. I am Pastor Jeremy Glenn of Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, thanking you for joining us on this morning. And God is so wonderful and he is so merciful. And he has given us another opportunity to just have time with him on today. And I just want to welcome you to come and grow in the soil with us. Again, we appreciate our brother Titus Glenn for ushering us in with praise and worship. Let me tell you something. I just feel the anointing of God on him and his ministry. And I am so thankful just to allow the parable of the talents to come into full manifestation. Talents coming into this ministry. New things are coming into this ministry. God is doing a wonderful thing. And we're going to talk about that in our message on today. So I just want to thank y'all that are tuning in on Facebook Live, that are tuning in on YouTube Live, that are tuning in on www.soilchurch.org, and those that are on We Talk Radio, where we talk, we listen, and we take the action that God needs for us to take. Again, I just want to thank y'all for tuning in on this morning. Before we move into the word, just a couple of quick announcements here before we dive into the foundation, the meat and the potatoes of our word on today. I didn't realize until I was blessed with a wonderful text from one of my pastor partners overseas, actually in India, that texted me this morning and said, "Pastor Glenn, happy Pastor's Day on today." I was like, "What? Yeah, happy Pastor's Day. This is Pastor's Day." Yeah, he brought that to my attention. This is Pastor's Day. I just want to tell every pastor that's listening to us, whenever you listen to us, I've got a few of you that tune in and listen all across the nation, some right here in the North Dallas area. Happy Pastor's Day to all of you. I just thank God that he has pastors after his own heart that will lead us, that will teach us, that will help us, that will groom us in our lives. So then when God does come back, we are prepared to go back with him. And I just thank God for all of you out there that are tuning in with us. Happy Pastor's Day to all of you. All right. And just another quick announcement here for our team, our leadership team. For those of you that know, we've got leadership meeting this Tuesday, 7 p.m. It's going to be a virtual leadership meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. Let's make sure, remember, to be on time is to be what? Is to be early. Let's make sure that we continue to allow iron to sharpen iron and to do the work that God needs for us to do. And I thank God for all of y'all. And let me tell you something. I've got a team of folks. Let me tell you something. An anointed, fire-filled, Holy Ghost-consumed team that I am so proud to be a part of. We've got great minds on our team. We've got great ideas. And God is certainly, certainly doing something special for Spirit of Inspiring Love Church for the purposes of God. All right, leadership meeting this Tuesday at 7 p.m. So it is a cool down day. We are starting to see the benefits of fall. Things are beginning to change. Okay, we're going into a transition from one season to another season, and the mornings are getting crisp. The sun is starting to go down a little earlier because things are beginning to change. Things are, in fact, getting ready to change. And I just want to just take time, just kind of reflect back on a couple of things that's happened, or some things that's happened maybe a couple of years ago, if y'all can remember. As we get ready to move into our message on today, I just kind of want to go back down memory lane and talk about some things that have happened the past couple of years in our lives. Because as we can recall, the year 2019, it marked not just the end of a decade, but it also marked the end of a cultural era that we knew. Things are different now. And this can be another way of saying old wineskin that came to an end. And what I want to use as we lay the foundation of this message here, and I'm going to take my time and I'm going to serve this meal to the best of my abilities from everything that God gives me to be able to serve his people, to make sure we leave with what God wants us to understand on today. I won't be rushed. I will not be distracted, but I will be about my Father's business on this morning. But there is something that has happened that I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen. The old wineskin that I'm going to refer to in this message on today is better known as pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic. Old wineskin, it leaves no room for growth. Old wineskin, it leaves no room for expansion. Old wineskin means you've gone as far as the wineskin has taken you. And this means that you have, in fact, come to the end of the road. Now, during the time that a lot of this was happening, we didn't know that our culture, as we once knew it, it had reached the end of a milestone. Our culture was in for a rude and unforgiving shift. A change was brewing beneath the surface of this world, and a new culture, which is better known as the new wineskin, would begin to take shape. In 2020, just a couple of years ago, not too long ago, there was this germ that ran rampant called COVID-19. And the devil's plan was to destroy as many people as he could, as possible. As we know, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, many lives were lost. Many businesses went upside down. Many of the ways of life that we used to live came to an abrupt ending. And this ultimately led to the entire world being shut down. It's all too familiar as you see the image that we have this morning up. These were signs that were placed on businesses. These were signs that were placed on churches. These were signs that were placed all around because there was a shifting that was getting ready to take place. The shutdown of 2020 and 2021, it did a lot of detrimental damage to the world as we once knew it. But how many of us know when things happen in this world, there's always a but. There's always a but when it comes to God. Can anybody attest to things going in one direction, but God steps in and creates a but in the situation? Because everything that the devil meant for bad, how many of us know that God turns these things into good? Can anybody attest to that? Amen. Is there anybody that can see a shifting in anything that you may have experienced in your life? And it was going in one direction, but God stepped in with a but. It was the Apostle Paul that tells us in Romans 8 and 28 that all things work together for the good. And therefore, God would not allow all of this to happen without it in fact working together for our good. What I want us to know, ladies and gentlemen, and to understand is that God will always make sure that he gets something good out of all situations. God will make sure that he gets the glory out of all things. And I do want to point out, and I do want to put special emphasis on all things. However, sometimes we don't like the how it works together. And not only that, but sometimes we don't like the why it has to happen. But when it's time for a shifting to take place from a move of God, there is a period of turbulence that usually takes place. When Jesus was crucified and after he took his last breath, he had some business to take care of beneath the surface of the world. There was some turbulence, as you read in the Bible, that took place after Jesus had taken his last earthly breath. He had to go down to hell and he had to handle some business. He had to take something that was stolen from all of us that gives us the opportunity to have eternal life. There was a turbulence that came on the face of the earth. The Bible records that there were thunderstorms and there were lightning and there was this shaking and rumbling that took place in the earth, because whenever there's getting ready to become a shift, when God is getting ready to remove old wineskin and impart the new wineskin, there is this shifting that is getting ready to take place. What I want you to understand, I will go back, because that was the earthly shift. Let me go back to the heavenly shift to allow a little more clarity to go into what I'm talking about on today. What we read, ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Genesis is really and truly the second creation of earth. Because Isaiah records, as God prophetically allowed him to see this vision, that Lucifer, you know Lucifer, he was a guy that directed the choir of the angelic host, and he was a guy that saw God getting all of this attention here. He wanted to snatch some of that from God. Lucifer got beside himself and thought that because he led praise and worship and because he was the guy that got everything ready, he was God's hype man, he was the Flavor Flav of the concert, that all glory should be dedicated towards him. Well, we know that God is God and God is the God of all things, and God ain't about to have that. So there's this recording that's mentioned that Lucifer was kicked down out of heaven. And when he was sit down, remember, there was a war that broke out in heaven. And Lucifer took one third of the angelic host. There was a turbulence that took place into the shift. What I want us to understand is, as even when the weather is warm and it gets ready to become cold, every time there is one era that's kind of joined forces with the other era, there is a shifting that takes place. There is something that happens in between the old wineskin shifting into the new wineskin, is what God wants us to know and to understand. Now, I believe that we can all agree that we've experienced some turbulence these last couple of years in our lives, unlike we have never seen or ever experienced before. We've been stretched out of our comfort zones. There has been an expiration date on the used-tos of our lives. As a matter of fact, I shared with someone earlier this week as I was ministering to this young man, because he was going through some turbulence, going through some growing pains, going through being stretched. And I said that, you know, the world will never be the same as it once was in 2019. Folk, 2019 ain't ever coming back again. What I want us to understand is that there's a whole lot of things that are different in the day and time that we're living in on today. So saying all of this and leading all of this to the meat and the potatoes and the heartbeat of the vital organ of our message on today, what does this mean for the body of Christ? How does this impact the people of God? And as we know, we're going to put our very first slide up on this morning. And here's what I want us to understand, is that God works in mysterious ways, and he has a reason for a new season. And if we're trying to hold on to the old ways of how we used to do things, we're going to miss out on our level of effectiveness in this season. But God, as I mentioned earlier, has pastors after his own heart. And he has laid on my personal spirit to be a sounding board for what he's doing on today. So what I want us to understand as we get ready to lay the foundation of our message on today, it is time for us to embrace something new. As a matter of fact, our message on today is entitled, as you can see up on the screen, it is called Something New. He wants us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is in fact time for something new. Spirit of the living God, Lord, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for praise and worship. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for just being in the midst of all of our lives. Lord, somebody did not wake up this morning and have this opportunity. Convict our hearts, Lord, to be more than careful, to be humble and thankful that we have another opportunity to praise you, Father God. To be in the midst of coming together on one accord, we thank you for it. Help us, Lord, to have a heart and a mind to not get so caught up into all the exterior extremities in our lives that we cannot stop and make a hard pause to stop and have fellowship with you. Father God, as we come forth with this word, we ask that you eliminate all distractions, that you help us to focus in and receive every ounce of this meal that you have prepared for us on today. And I want to thank you in advance for that one soul that's going to be changed, that one heart that's going to be touched, that one mind that's going to be renewed, that ounce of energy that somebody needs just to know that they can press on toward the mark. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. For your son's holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen on today. Let us, if you will, please open up in your Bibles to the New Testament of the Bible as we will exegete on the text from one only, the Apostle Paul. What a preaching man Paul was. What a wonderful anointing and blessing to the body of Christ Apostle Paul was. So if you will, go into 2 Corinthians. We're coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. And I like the New King James version of this text that we're getting ready to read. When you find it, somebody just give me a virtual amen, if you will. All right, I want to make sure that we're there. And if you don't have your Bible, we may be able to put it on the screen. If not, but just remember here, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 here. This is what I want us to understand. Now, before we get into this, I just want to make a part as we're talking about old wineskin and new wineskin. There, the Old Testament in the Bible, you know, Bible is like two hands, Old Testament and New Testament. And there's a reason that there are two testaments in the Bible. What God is showing us, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is a season that had to expire before the new season stepped into place. This is why, again, I want to say that we have an Old Testament and a New Testament, because the New Testament or New Covenant is initiated by the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. So once his blood was shed, the Old Testament had expired, the old wineskin had expired, and now the New Testament became something new. The Apostle Paul himself is one of the greatest examples that we have of old and new. This guy that was once named Saul experienced a shifting on this road called Damascus and became something new. I have a message that I believe I gave maybe a little over a year ago called From Saul to Paul, and I want to encourage you to go back one of the very, very many videos that we have and listen to that in our message library and listen to it. But for today, what I want to do is I want to articulate on the text that he wrote to the Corinthian church about something new. Now, if you've got your Bibles, I want to give you a little bit of time. to get into that. 2 Corinthians might be on page 144 in your Bible, okay? But let's read, and I believe we're going to put it up on the screen here. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, this is Apostle Paul, the letter that he wrote to the Corinthian church that he planted. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Again, I want to reiterate, in selecting the New King James Version of this text, I chose this text, this version, because I want to briefly focus on one word called behold. The word behold comes from the Greek word adios. It's called adios, and it is used 1,298 times in the original King James Version of the Bible. The word beholds means to be sure to see. The word behold, I want to say again, it means to be sure to see. And because it's used nearly 1,300 times in the Bible, it's imperative for us to know that God wants you to be sure to see. Now, as I was studying up on this passage, the word behold, it jumped out at me. It stuck out at me. It really grabbed my attention. And I learned to really listen to what God is wanting me to see. And when he tugs on you and when he shows you something that he's never shown you before, it is something that he wants you to pull, to extrapolate from that particular word, from that particular passage, to bring it to your attention so that it brings additional clarity for the application of his needs. This is what I want us to understand. This word, it stood out to me like never before. It almost reminded me of like a wild jackrabbit running across the street. It caught so much of my attention. So I'm asking God during this time, why is this word jumping out at me like this? And what God is wanting me to know and to understand about this word behold in this particular text is that what it's doing is it's helping me to be a better steward of feeding the sheep of God. He wants me to understand, and as I teach you to understand that this is what a good pastor is supposed to do. When it jumps out and it grabs your attention, he needs his sheep to feed on this word. This is something that he wants his people to be able to enjoy the benefits of the appetite of feeding on this word. So I'm asking God, okay, Lord, as you continue to show this with me, I know this has to be a beneficial feeding to your sheep. So what is it that you want me to know? Lord, what is it that you want me to share with your people? What is it that they need to pull and use to be able to apply into their lives on today? And brothers and sisters, I am so thankful to be able to say that I have a fresh revelation from God to share with his people that are called by his name. And what I want us to understand is what God said to me. This word behold means that he wants us to be sure to see. And I want my people, son, to be able to not just be sure to see, but to understand that I want them to be sure to see what I'm doing in this season, because I'm doing something new. He's saying, in everything that we are experiencing right now in our lives, don't miss what I'm doing. Ladies and gentlemen, he is in fact doing something new. Now, if we eliminate all the distractions in our lives and we get rid of all of this garbage that fills our minds and hearts with the ways of this world and put God back to being first in our lives, we will in fact see that God is doing something new. People of God, I'm getting ready to put another slide up here on this morning. And here's what I want us to see and to understand is that if we've got guard, our hearts and minds like never before, and there's a typo, forgive us as we try to perfect everything that we do, but if we guard our hearts and our minds like never before, Because our spiritual belief system is under satanic attack. And what that is intending to say is that we've got to guard our heart and our mind. It's a must. It's an absolute must, is that we have to guard our hearts and our minds like never before, because our spiritual belief system, it is under satanic attack. The devil is lying. I'm going to say that one more time, because God is not the author of confusion. And I want us to understand what God is saying, because the enemy wrestled me. He wrestled me like never before, because he did not want this word to come out. So, Eric, let's put that slide up one more time. The third time, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we can never go wrong when we do it in the trilogy here. We've got to put guard on our hearts and our minds like never before, because our spiritual belief system is under satanic attack. There is an attack on our hearts and our minds. Why is this? Because the devil does not want us to see that God is in fact doing something new. Jesus, as a matter of fact, in the great teaching that he gives us all here, he was showing the disciples and teaching the disciples. And Jesus said in John 10:10, and I'm coming from the New International Version of this translation, it says, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and to destroy." And he literally wants to pull the plug of your belief in God away from you, so that you will not be able to see, in fact, that God is doing something new. He wants to yank your plug out so that you don't receive the power from God to know and to be in tune and to have all of the focus that you need to know that God is in fact doing something new. If the plug is out, there is no connection. If the plug is out, there is no energy. If the plug is out, there is no divine connection, no divine intervention between you and God. He wants to yank that plug out and have an impact on your communication with God. So what does he do? He wants to use satanic influences to distract us away from what God is doing. We are shedding some light on this whole diabolical plan that the enemy has put. But God says, in this season, we're going to expose the enemy, and we're going to allow his people to know exactly what he's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we're seeing nations trying to take over nations. Don't kid yourself. This is part of the diabolical plan of the enemy. This is why there are threats of nuclear wars that we're hearing about every day. Our democracy here in the United States was threatened not too long ago. And new outbreaks of diseases seem to be unleashing one after another. We can't see clearly that God is doing something new because we have been spiritually distracted. And because we are so bombarded with all of the evil attacks and evil distractions of this world, God wants his people that are called by his name to know that he wants us to be sure to see. He wants us to be sure to see. It's when something is sure, it's without doubt. It's without question. It's without any ifs, any ands, or buts. When it's sure, it stands strong. It's rooted. It's grounded. It's immovable. It's not going anywhere because it is, in fact, absolutely sure. God wants us to be absolutely sure that we see what is going on in our land. The text says, "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." They're not getting ready to become new. They're already new. We just have to see it, accept it, and embrace it. Okay? I'm going to say that again for them sitting way in the back. Y'all know how we do it here. As a matter of fact, I've got a slide that I want to put up that says this again. God wants us to see it, accept it, and embrace it. See it, accept it, and embrace it. It's a new day, ladies and gentlemen. My brothers and sisters, it is in fact a new day. This new culture that we live in, I want to talk about that for a bit because it just is what it is, y'all. It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. So for anybody that says, I want things to go back to being like it used to be, I'm here to tell you, it ain't happening. This is a new wineskin that we have been ushered into, at least for as long as God says that it is. So some call it the new normal. It's a new culture. We just got to face it that things are different now. I got some old news for you too. People ain't the same. We can ignore it all we want to. We can blame all these other things all we want to. We can say this, we can say that, but the bottom line is people aren't the same. It's a different mindset nowadays. We think differently. We process things differently. There are different, if you just go outside, if you just go to the corner store, if you're taking the freeways and the highways and byways, there are different temperaments out here in the world. Another thing is the level of sensitivity that is among people is totally different. As a matter of fact, 2 years, it's just been 2 years, that there has literally been a major shifting in the world as we know it. We're going to expose some things on today. And whenever there's a revelatory word that's coming, and whenever there's a revelation that's coming, demons start flying around, demons start doing things. Your phone is probably starting to ring. Somebody might be ringing on your doorbell. All kinds of things start happening because the enemy gets very nervous when he gets exposed. Let me say something. I'm gonna just divert just a little bit because I feel led in my spirit to say this. The enemy is only effective when he can blind attack you. That's why the Bible refers to him as the thief. And what Jesus wants us to see is that he comes as a thief in the night. In other words, he comes at night because he has a greater success rate of being successful when it's nighttime. But there's this thing called light that sheds on darkness, and the enemy cannot be as successful when there's light that's shed on his attacks. This is why what we want to make sure we do, we pray for dangers that are seen and unseen. It's the unseen. What do I mean by that? A couple of nights ago, he tried to attack my body while I was asleep. Tried to cut off my breathing supply as I'm sleeping. He ain't going to mess with me because he know I can speak to him when I'm conscious. But he is a thief at night and wants to come when you're not fully aware. Oh, but God has a different thing to say. And everything that the enemy tries to do, God is 2, 3, 4, 5 steps ahead of him. We just have to make sure that we are aware he is, in fact, a thief. But what I want us to understand here, while the world that we live in now is different and we've experienced change like never before, I want to tell you what Hebrews 13:8 says, and we're going to put another slide up here on this morning, and it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the word of God is the same because Jesus is the same, and we can take heart because he has in fact overcome the world. But what I want us to understand is while the word of God is the same, we as people, we've got to change. We have to adapt to something new. What God He tells us here, and I want to go into the Old Testament here, pull from the Old Testament to connect all of our dots here. There was this prophet by the name of Isaiah. Remember, Isaiah was the one that prophesied of the coming Messiah. He is known as the eagle-eyed prophet in the Bible. And what Isaiah says, as we put our next slide up here on this morning, in Isaiah 43:19, I'm coming from the King James Version. He says, behold, how about that word? He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? It will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is what I want us to understand, because what God is saying, and as he's speaking this through Isaiah, this means he wants us to be sure to see that he will do a new thing and it shall spring forth if you open your eyes and see it. Regardless to all the chaos and all of the distractions that are going on in this world, God is in fact doing something new. What exactly do I mean by that? Let me break that down. Let me go deeper. Let me shed some light on this situation here. Let's put another slide up here on this morning. The old ways of reaching the lost and understanding ministry has to be done, ladies and gentlemen, in a new way, if we're going to be effective in this new culture. It ain't about just going to church, y'all. It ain't about just having fish fries and building funds and all of that stuff. This is a brand new day. That was all part of the old wineskin. God is giving us a new revelatory word on today, saying that there is something new that has to be done. The word does not change, but guess what has to change? Ministry has to change. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to equip us on seven words, on seven different points, if you will, seven different points. Why seven? Seven is the number of completion in the Bible. I am going to give us seven ways that ministry needs to change. And these are called the new ways of ministry. These are the new ways of ministry. And this is what I want us to understand. I am going to put up one point at a time. And I want us to understand this, because we have to embrace what is new. We have to accept that things are new. We have to walk into this new wineskin, and God is going to give us the equipment, the wisdom, and the knowledge to be able to apply to do something new. So here are, as we get ready to close, here are the seven new ways in ministry that we have to accept and we have to get ready for in our lives. Number one, we have to have open-mindedness. Open-mindedness. We have to be open to new ways of teaching and reaching the lost. Let me make a point. Let me make a point on that. The way your granddaddy reached the lost ain't the way we got to reach the lost today. Okay, the way grandmama used to do things back then ain't the way that we do things today. We have to have an open-mindedness when it comes to reaching the lost. Okay? Number two, I'm going to put our next point up here. Number two is availability. Availability. And let me just give a quick shout out to our first lady, because she helped me put this message together. She and I had Bible study the other night, and we talked about this, and we wrote this sermon together, and I just want to just give a special shout out to her for helping us be a part of this, to be able to give you the tools that we need here. All right. The Bible says that there's strength in numbers. And I am so thankful to have a dedicated partner to help us with this ministry. Number two is availability. Our availability has to adapt to this new culture that we're living in. All right. Our availability, it has to adapt to this new culture that we are living in. It doesn't surprise me sometimes that technical things happen, but I'm going to move on and press on toward the mark. Okay. Number two, if we can put the next slide back up here one more time, Eric, availability, because I don't know where the sound went off, but let's put availability back up. Our availability has to adapt to this new culture that we are living in. We have to adapt. We have to change. This is why I put a message up for those that follow me on Facebook. We have to be the change that we want to see. All right, moving along here, and I'm almost done, ladies and gentlemen, here. Number three is encouragement. Encouragement. We have to encourage people at a much higher level than we used to. People need more encouragement nowadays than they have in previous days. This is, in fact, a new wineskin of what we have to do. Okay, and as we're moving along here, let's move on to number four. Number four says, we're talking about new ways of ministry here, sensitivity. Sensitivity. We have to be sensitive to insensitivity. I'm going to say that again. I want that to process in your spirit right now. We have to be sensitive to insensitivity. People are more sensitive now. Whether we like it or not, that's just the way that it is. COVID did a detrimental thing on us during that shutdown, and a lot of us have changed, and we have to accept it for how it is. This is not the suck it up buttercup generation. This ain't the get some chest on your hair nowadays. It's not like it used to be, y'all. And we have to be sensitive to insensitivity. It's just the way that it is. Number five, moving on here. Number five is talking about new ways of ministry, passing of judgment. Oh, I expect there to be some chat on this one right here. Passing of judgment. Because guess what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen? We have to reduce the passing of judgment on things we may not like or understand in this new culture. The passing of judgment. Let me say something about that. That is something that is done before anything can actually be done. You know what it is? It's judging a book by its cover. You can't tell. That book may have some seeds for you in your life right now that you won't know until you open up the pages and digest everything that book has. But if you look at the title of that book and say, this ain't for me, then you've just done yourself a disservice. The passing of judgment in the church. I don't care what denomination. I don't care what. I don't care. The passing of judgment is one of the most detrimental things that impacts the level of effectiveness in ministry. And if ain't no other preacher gonna say it, I'm gonna say it. If ain't nobody else gonna say it, I'm going to say it. I feel a tugging on my heart to say something right now. I am so sick. And I am so tired of it's got to be the Baptist way or the Kojic way or this way or that way. Can we all just set all that aside and be about the business of our Father? I don't care that you don't have music in your church. That ain't going to get me in or out of hell. I don't care that you have 3 o'clock services or whatever the case. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus would be kind of confused with the way we think things should be done sometimes. Because we have put so many man-made things into the way that we do church right now that it causes us to instantly pass judgment on the level of effectiveness when it comes to reaching the lost. I thank God that I am free from that. And I thank God that I can see because he says, behold, I want you to be able to see. And we, ladies and gentlemen, as blood-washed believers, have to get out of our own way. We have to get out of man-made walls that we create that affects our level of effectiveness with Christianity. Jesus said that he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Get your thoughts, get your all these other things that you do. Get all that stuff out of the way and let's get back to Jesus. Let's get back to Jesus is my plea to the Christian church. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, not your rules and not your governing authority. Yeah, I said it and I don't take it back. We have to stop the passing of judgment. Number six, moving along here, and I'm ready for all the letters. I'm ready for all the time. I'm ready. I'm built for this. I'm ready for it. Number six is patience. Patience, y'all. Not everyone grew up in church. But the testing of our faith produces patience. And we have to have more patience for this new culture. Not everybody grew up in church. Not everybody went to vacation Bible school. Not everybody had that great aunt or that good old uncle or somebody that brought them to church or whatever the case. We have to be patient. This is why the Bible says from faith to faith, glory to glory, there is a process in our walk. And truth be told, God has extreme patience for all of us. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short. It means that we struggle with this every day. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if God can be patient with us, it is our duty, it is our responsibility, It is a shall from God, a commandment from God, that we're patient with others. And number seven, and my final point on the new ways of doing ministry, is positivity. Positivity. We have to get back to having a whole lot more positivity, because with the negativity that floods social media and our society from every news that you watch, every news channel that you watch, they start off with this shooting and this killing and this over here and this corruption over there. I mean, they just hit you with it, folk. They hit you with it, folk. They hit you with it, folk. You pull up social media, you got this going on, that going on, all this stuff here. We are flooded with negativity every day of our lives. And we use these devices and we use these things as part of our way of life. And if you pick this up, this right here can set the direction of your entire day. This right here can point you into where you're going to go. Because there is so much power at the click of a button like never before. And if that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn that around so that God gets some glory out of it. Let's make sure that we flood the social media challenges with positivity. Let's make sure that there is good news among the streets that we go out on. Let's make sure that there is positivity when we go into our workplaces. Let's make sure that we saturate this world with as much positivity, with as much good news. Remember our message from last week? Think on those things which are lovely, which are pure, which are kind. The best, not the worst, the good, not the bad. Whatever it is that is true, whatever it is that is lovely, whatever it is that is great, think on those things and share those things. And we can turn negativity around, and God will, in fact, get the glory. As I get ready to close on our message on today, Jesus is teaching the disciples about the importance of putting new wine in new wineskin. And he closes out his point in Matthew 9 and 17, as you see the next slide that we have up on this morning. He says, but they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Both are preserved. The word of God never changes, but it always gives a new revelation. The culture and society in which we live in now is new. And there has to be a new way of reaching and teaching. My final point, ladies and gentlemen, and I thank y'all so much for tuning in with us. Whenever you listen to this, whether it be live 2 weeks from now, a month from now, 2 years from now, I thank you for it. The new revelation known as the Word of God is represented in this teaching from Jesus as the new wine. And the new culture that we live in today, this post-pandemic culture, this new culture, this after 2020 culture that we're living on today, it is represented as the new wineskin. Because it's the wine that has to get poured into the wineskin. The word of God has to be imported into the world, okay? So the new wine coming from God is being imported into this new wineskin called our culture on today. This is what I want us to understand as I get ready to bring this message home. What I want us to understand is that when the new wine comes into agreement with the new wineskin, the Bible says, according to what Jesus just taught us, both are preserved. Both are preserved. So what does God want us to understand about that? Here's one more slide that I want us to see on this morning. This is what God wants us to understand. We, as believers, have a responsibility to preserve the word of God so that we can help preserve the people of God. I'm going to say that again because I want us to understand God needs us to be dedicated partners with him in this day and in this time. We as believers have a responsibility to preserve the word of God so we can help preserve the people of God. Ladies and gentlemen, salt is a preservative. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. Salt is a preservative. And here's what Jesus told all of us, just in case somebody forgot. You are the salt of the earth. This world, ladies and gentlemen, it has a new flavor. But it needs the same salt from Jesus. That could be a sermon and a half right there. We need the same salt from Jesus. Because here's my final slide that I'm going to put up, and we're going to bring this home on today. God is doing something new in this life that we're living right now today. And he needs for us to do something new in this world that we live in. He needs the new wine and the new wineskin to come together so that it can be preserved and so that the people of God can be preserved in today's time. Not 20 years ago's way, not 2,000 years ago's way, but for this day in 2022, in this new season, this new wine, he needs the newness to come together so that the new wine and the new wineskin, here's that word, here's what I want us to understand, can grow together.
Amen.
When new wine comes into new wineskin, there's an expansion that happens. There is a molding and shaping that happens. The new wine has properties and the new wineskin has properties that allows the preservation of the wine together to come into the ultimate product that it needs to become. They do it together. They partner, they connect, they become one flesh, just like a marriage. This, Holy Spirit, this is why Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming. There is a marriage between our relationship with God and us on this earth. That's why he's coming back for that one church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. You are the church. And he wants you to understand, you've got to do something new in today's time. But what I want us to understand is we're learning how to do things new. And we're going to welcome in our brother, Titus Glenn, to lead us into this. Because what I want us to understand is that God is doing something new in our life that we're living. And I just want to say, before I get ready to close, he needs for us to make the decision to be the change that we need to see, to be the change that he needs for us to be new in this season. And you've got 7 ways to help you be effective and your level of effectiveness with God. But there is something that has to be done before you can be used by God. Again, all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But some of us need to really understand what it really means to be new. Before we can do new things, being new starts with us. I want to know, do you know what it means to be new? My question is, before you can be used by God to help reach this world, the Lord says he's actually come to give you life. And not just life, but life more abundantly. Have you accepted his offer? If you haven't today, it is still on the table. And the stakes of God are high. And it's time for you to make the decision to make your mind up to be new. My question for you as I get ready to close this message is, have you accepted Jesus in your life? Not church, not titles, but Jesus. This is what the question that I'm asking you on today. Have you accepted Jesus in your life? As the music is playing, and as we get ready to make a shift in this message right now, wherever you are, virtually listening in, watching, you have an opportunity, a golden opportunity to accept Jesus in your life. And we're going to shift here as we get ready to do that here. I just want you to think about something, because there is life that's needed. There is new life that's needed. And I want you to listen and prepare your hearts and mind to listen to this word. Amen, amen, amen. He has, in fact, given us all new life. Once you confess that he is Jesus, you confess that he is Lord. So right now is an opportunity for you to experience, as you heard our brother Titus Glenn saying on this morning, new life. Whoever you are, wherever you are, I want you to lift your hand right now. Say, Lord, I want new life. I want to be a part of something new. Father God, I'm lost, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that is a light that looks different. It's a light that I've never seen. And it looks like it's called new life. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I know that I have my struggles. I know that I have my troubles. But you told me to take heart, because you have overcome this world. And I want to thank you for accepting me. I give my life to you, Lord. All of my troubles, all of my pain. Heavenly Father, give me new life. I want to be a part of something new. In Jesus' name. I believe that you died, rose on the third day, with all of the power and all of the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If that's you and you have done that, I just want to thank you for giving your life to Jesus, and you are about to experience new life. You are about to experience something new. And if you want to reach out to me, you see my email address. You can reach out to me, PastorJeremy@soilchurch.org. If you need any resources, any scriptures, if you need to be uplifted or whatever the case, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I just want to be that coach to help you one day go back with Jesus when he comes. But right now, while you're living today, you can, in fact, experience new life. Amen and amen. All right, I want to thank you for that. And you have made one of the best decisions, the absolute best decision that you could ever make in your life. Amen, amen, amen. Now, we're going to shift and go into something here called offering. What are you going to offer up to God on today? You've been blessed with this word. You've been blessed with song and praise. You've been blessed with so many things. Now here's an opportunity for you to do something. What are you going to offer up? Because Luke 6:38, coming from the New Living Translation, says, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return into you full, pressed down, shaken together." And let me tell you something else about that there. There's going to be more. There's going to be this thing called overflow. If you just give, wherever there is lack, there is no giving. I'm going to say that again. Wherever there is lack, there is no giving. God is a reciprocal God. Okay. You give, you receive. You don't receive unless you're given. That's just the way it works. Okay. Here's an opportunity for you to give into this ministry, to give into, and just let God, this is good ground to let God do something amazing in your life. You are blessed to be a blessing. Don't receive all of this good word and click off and go on somewhere. Show God this was a blessing to you. Show God that this matters to you. Show God, Lord, I'm just going to start small. I'm just going to give, give, give. Get your giving repetitions up, okay? That's the only way muscles are going to grow, is you got to work those muscles. It'll work if you work it, okay? I want to pray over every offering, and I want to thank all of y'all that have been so diligent in your giving with this ministry, and I just want to pray over every seed right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for every seed sown into this ministry. Lord, I just pray, I speak 100-fold returns on every seed into this ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you said in your word, give and it shall be. Give and it shall be. It's a commandment that is attached to giving. Give and it shall be given. And we thank you for that, Lord. It is time for us to get rid of, in this new wineskin, to get rid of the mind of a lack, the I cannots, the I don't haves, and all of that stuff. It starts with giving, and we thank you for it right now. Thank you for the heart to give. Lord, somebody out there that tunes into our messages, they get all the benefits of this message, but they don't have it in their heart to give. And if they could just see that their life would go to a new dimension if they just gave. It's not that we want anything from anybody. We want everything that you want for them. But obedience is greater than sacrifice, is what your word says. And I just pray, Lord, that you just add abundance, bountiful blessings over every seed that comes into this ministry. And I thank you for what you're getting ready to do in this new season. We thank you, Father God, for something new. And we thank you for everything that you're doing right now in Jesus' name. Satan, wherever you're seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, and contort every seed, we are steps ahead of you. And Lord, we speak that you tie the enemy's hand over every tithe given into the storehouse, every seed that's given, that you arrest him, tie his hand so he cannot interfere with our blessings in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And Father God, as we close out on today, we thank you for a wonderful word. Thank you for a revelatory word. And we thank you for everything that you're doing in the mighty name of Jesus as we elevate and go to new levels and do something new. Father God, hold our hand, our outstretched hand, Lord, and help us to walk along with you on this journey. In Jesus' name, cover us with your shield of protection. Protect us from danger seen and unseen. And we thank you in advance for bringing us back right here next week, one more time. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. I want to thank you for tuning in with us on today. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we'll see you then. Folks, we love you. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you soon. Take care and have a fantastic Sunday.